You can make snacks. You can, you know, do all kind of stuff. Of course, the main thing is visiting the bus route, working the bus route, being a part of the bus ministry, and the Lord will bless you for it. Now, since we're going to plan a big day for Sunday, I've been reading a little bit about prayer and praying, and I hope you've been praying and asking the Lord to bless. Good night. I can't even... lost my place here. But I've been asking the Lord just to bless it and His will to be done, and ask God for His will. And you know what God's will is. You know, it's not God's will that one person perish, but that all, come to repentance. And that means everybody. Amen. I find my scripture here, Brother Derek. So where they brought young children to Him. I've been studying it all day and lost it with my notes here. They brought young children to Him. And I'm going to talk about that tonight by God's grace. And it's on the middle part of the page, about halfway down in my Bible. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them. I know it. I was on the phone and stuff all evening. Said it all day. And they brought young children unto Him that He should touch them. What? Matthew. I was in Mark. I'm sorry. Matthew 19. Huh? All right. That's it. No, it ain't. That ain't it. Nope. It's another one. Run the reference from there to the other gospel. Seemed like it was a Mark or Luke. Mark 10 sounds right. That's it. Mark 10. Mark 10, 13. All right. That's bad. The preacher gets up and has to ask people where Scripture is. That one preacher got him. He said, boy, I got me a good message if I could find the Scripture to back it up. I've heard a lot of them like that, ain't you? Let me ask you a question. Did you enjoy Brother Sonny Mull? Wasn't that a blessing? I'm telling you, he's a character, isn't he? He was an old country preacher that comes off like he's just an old hillbilly. But I'm telling you, that fellow knew some Scripture. I don't know if you noticed it, but I bet he quoted 50 verses of Scripture. It was really, really good. And that shows you right there, you can't judge a book by its cover always. You can't always tell a preacher, even his education, don't always... Lord, I've heard some's educated couldn't preach your way out of a wet paper bag. I really have. I mean that. But thank God, God still calls some. All right, Mark chapter 10, and look at verse 13. Here's what we hope to happen this Sunday. And they brought young children to Him. Them kids could not come on their own. Somebody had to bring them. Y'all realize, if nobody does nothing between now and Sunday, all these people won't be, our regular Sunday people, it'll be nearly full. But those kids won't be here if we don't bring them. They will not. A 4-year-old, 8-year-old cannot walk from Conley Springs to this church on Sunday morning. They will not come unless we bring them. People say, well, their parents ought to bring them. I've heard people say that. And you're absolutely right. They should. But they ain't and they don't. So we cannot just leave them. We can't leave those little kids out there with nobody to care for them, y'all. That's criminal. Let's read this. They brought young children to Him that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased. Only time in the Bible it says that. Only time in the Bible Jesus was much displeased. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come to Me. Remember that. Little kids. Little. The Lord said, let little kids come to Me. He didn't say go get the religious people. He didn't say go get the officers or the governor or the president. Suffer the little children. For of such is the kingdom of God. Forbid them not. Excuse me. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. Somebody asked me this thing and said, did you get your voice back? And I said, yes, ain't you disappointed? He shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms and put His hands upon them and blessed them. All right? You know, I read a quote by Leonard Ravenhill. I don't know. Anybody in here ever heard of Leonard Ravenhill? He was a great, he's a Christian writer, wrote a lot of books on revival and stuff like that, and back 30, 40 years ago. And he said, our abilities are our handicaps, and our talents are stumbling blocks. Let me say that to all of you. Our abilities are our handicaps, and our talents are our stumbling blocks. If a person has a lot of talent, it's usually not an asset to them, it's a stumbling block. It's like a girl, she's really, 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 really pretty, she usually ain't worth a dime because she can't see past that. If it's a man has a lot of money, or he has a lot of talent, or he has a lot of this, usually he ain't worth a dime for God. Because we think those things will get us through. And they don't. And they can't. If you're depending on, people have talent, depend on talent. People have money, depend on money. But when you ain't got no talent, and you ain't got no money, and you ain't got no, you depend on God. And that's the best way for us to be. Don't let your talents be your stumbling blocks. Use your talent for the glory of God. When I preach at young people, when I preach youth camps and youth rallies and stuff, and you know what I tell the kids? I say, whatever talent God's gave you, use it for Him. If you can draw, if you can sing, if you can write, if you can quote, I mean, you got a good memory, or if you can, you got a good personality and you meet people, use it for the Lord, brother. Use it for the Lord. Don't let, now the devil, usually somebody that the Lord can use, the devil can use. Somebody that goes way up for the devil or down can usually go way up for God. And so let God have what you've got. So here's what I'm going to ask everybody. I'm going to ask you to change your mind. That's a hard thing to do, get a Baptist to change their mind. But change your mind and let's get to work this weekend and try to get some people to church. First of all, it said they brought them. That's interesting. That's interesting. The Holy Spirit put that in the Bible. Nothing's in the Bible by accident. If we believe the Bible is a final authority and the Word of God, nothing's in there by accident. Why didn't it just say there were some little kids there one day and Jesus put His hands on them? Why didn't it say that? It specifically said they brought them. They brought them. Back there behind us tonight sits them golden chariots. And they don't look like golden chariots, but that's what they are. In the sight of the Lord, them golden chariots. And them golden chariots going to be headed over toward Lenore and down into Hickory and all over Morganton, down toward Hildebrand. And you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be bringing people to Jesus this Sunday. They brought them. They brought them. One of the greatest joys I've ever had as a preacher is standing there on Sunday morning and watch them buses pull up, and those kids, they just come off there like this. Here comes one. Here comes another. Here comes another. And boy, I'm telling you, they some characters. They some characters. The bus ministry is like taking a big old net and throwing out there in the ocean, but you just bring everything in. I mean, you get clams and oysters and gazum goozums. That's what they call them fish. You can't even tell what they are, gazum goozum. They say, you know, you're in a redneck church if you hear about Jesus feeding 5,000 and you won't know if He fed them catfish or bass and what they use for bait. That's why you know you're in a redneck church. But you know what? And you know what? Jesus died for all sizes, ages, shapes, colors, race, everything. Jesus died for that little old bitty boy who comes in picking his nose just like He died for President Obama. Just like He died for the governor of the state of North Carolina. Jesus died for that one. I mean, you know, Jimmy, they're not here tonight. Jimmy and his family. Brother Jimmy, what is Jimmy's last name? Short, Jimmy Short. Started just coming on Brother Mike's bus. Good night. It's probably been 5 years, maybe. I don't know. And they started coming, and they come, they always sit in the back, And I'm telling you, old Jimmy, he surprised us all. You know what he's wanting to do right now? Get his bus license and be a substitute bus driver once in a while. You know, I don't tell him I said this, but you know what he told me not long ago? Jimmy come up and said, Brother Danny, how you know when the Lord's calling you to preach? I said, hallelujah, glory to God. I mean, you just don't never know. You just don't never know what you're bringing on them buses. You don't know. And old Jimmy wasn't saved. And he told. And one time we talked to him, witnessed to him, and he said, I'm going to get saved on my birthday. I'm going to get saved on my birthday. Sure enough, he got saved on his birthday, and now his family's come to church driving his own vehicle to church. So they brought him. They brought him, people. You don't know. The next door you knock on might be another Jimmy Short. Another one of the family. You just absolutely do not know. You remember that guy that used to come, y'all sit back there on the back, and he passed away. What was his name? The guy that sat back there and said, right. Stephen. Yeah. Stephen. Y'all remember? I mean, he would sit back there and I'd be preaching on Sunday morning. I'd hear somebody saying, right. And I didn't know who it was for a year. I did not know. I thought, where is that coming from? I had no idea. I could hear it, but I couldn't put a face with it. How many of y'all remember Stephen? Raise your hand. Some of you new ones wasn't here when he came. Buddy, he'd sit back there. One time I said something really good and he cussed. Cussed out back there. I didn't hear it, but I was told that. And he was into it, buddy. He was into that preaching. And he's done gone home to be the Lord. He's up there with not a glorified body yet, but in a shouting perfect with the Lord in heaven right now because partly of our bus ministry. They brought young children to him. They brought him. If you'd ever get it excited about what God does in the bus ministry, you'd be surprised. Now, if you can't go, give Rhonda and Kim some gas money. Well, they hardly ever have gas. That's why they're not here tonight. No money for gas. It takes them about 30 minutes to drive them over there. And they give them, if you say, I just can't do it, but here's my part. If they'll go, I'll buy them some gas. They drive a Volkswagen, $20, does their whole bus route on Saturday. And everybody do. If everybody in this church would say, I'm going to do my part to get kids in here, you can't. If you have to work on Saturday, if that's the day you got to do this, that, cook the hot dogs like these guys are doing, help clean up the mess, serve the meal. You know what? It ought to be a privilege. If we'd realize that God in heaven is up there, what a privilege to hand a bus kid a hot dog. Amen? People say, oh, I've been invited to this crusade, and I'm going to get to sing a song, and I'm going to, ooh. You're getting all the glory you're ever going to get right there. You got your reward. You got it right there. But buddy's standing out there, sweat running down your hand, and the bus get a hot dog, and then them wiping ketchup on you or something like that. You're going to get that when you get to heaven. That's cashing in on the big bucks, brother. That's better than playing the lottery if you know the number. It really is. I'm telling you, they brought them. And you know why churches don't bring kids? I know. I've been in church a long time. You know why churches don't have bus ministries and bring kids? Number one, it's not financially profitable. Bus kids are not an asset. They are a liability. Buses are not an asset. They are a liability. We pay an insurance on them things. We put diesel fuel, $4 a gallon, in them things. Lord, I don't even know how much we spend a week just on fuel. That's why workers, we need to get them filled up, because it don't cost no more to bring 40 than it does 15. And the bus is still moving. So it's worth it. But you know what? We need to understand that they're not here. There are a lot of churches, I hate to say this, but if something's not financially profitable, don't fool with it. Like you're some kind of business, profit organization or something. The bus ministry is not for profit. You don't make money off of it. I'll tell you what you do. You get the eye of God. And God looks down here and sees us after kids. The Lord says, you know what? He'll put it on that somebody down there in South Carolina. Somebody there is going to send them some money. And he'll take care of it. I've seen it happen 100 times. I've seen it happen 100 times. Didn't know where the money's coming from, how he's going to make it. And I said, we ain't selling no bus. We ain't stopping no bus route. I took cutting salary before 2 or 3 times back at our church in Marion. I said, I'll just cut my pay $50 a week. Whatever we got to do, we'll keep it. And the Lord always made it up. Every time. Every single time. And that's what we'll do now. So they brought them. You know why they don't bring bus kids? No money. You know why else? No clout. bus kids don't bring a lot of clout to your church. You do realize that there are churches where only a certain level, class of people go there. You live in a certain rich neighborhood. Your house has to be at least $500,000. You have to at least drive a really, really, really nice car. And they're all neat. They're all on maybe the school board or the board of education or whatever. They're city council or something. Now, ain't nothing wrong with them people. They need somewhere to go to church. But a church shouldn't be a place just where rich people can go. Bus kids don't fit in too good in a place like that. I mean, they'll come in and sit down beside some rich lady and wipe a booger on her dress. I mean, that don't go over too good in some churches. Don't go over too good here. But still, we cannot think we're too good to be around poor people, y'all. What in the world's wrong with us? I don't think we think that here. I don't. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. We're not no better than nobody else. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be out there in a crack house somewhere tonight. High, out of my mind, dying, going to hell. Only the grace of God is all that's good about me or you. Amen? That's why these disciples, they rebuked them and said, "Don't get those kids in here. This is important. We're businessmen." And the Lord said, "Buddy, you better watch your step. You better watch your attitude toward bus kids." I had a lady tell me over at the old building one time, and it was rough in there. I mean, it was rough. I mean, that place wouldn't seat but 200 and something, and we'd have 100 and something bus kids on Sunday morning, and they would, I mean, they'd run and stomp your feet. You couldn't get in the bathroom. I mean, it was bad. It was bad for me. I'd call them down every service. Had a fight break out one morning. Two teenage girls got in a fight and they had to take them out. I just said, sing another verse, get them out of here. And it was awful. And one lady told me, she said, "I just ain't coming no more on Sunday morning if them bus kids are going to be there." She didn't tell me. She told somebody else and they told me. And I said, "You know, in a way I can understand it, but that's not right. That's a wrong attitude to have. That's wrong. Thank God we got a church that's crawling alive with kids. They don't have no influence for job. You have to feed them. You have to watch after them. You have to care. You have to have a junior church." I've had preachers down through the years call me and say, "Brother Danny, I need you to answer me a question." I said, "What's that?" They said, "We want to start a bus ministry in our church. How do we do it?" And I tell them the same thing. I told one in Marion this years ago. Some of y'all know him. And they tried it for a while and quit. You know what I told them? I said, "You got to do three things. Number one, you got to spend a lot of money." That gets rid of most of them right there. "Number two, you got to be willing to use promotions." That gets rid of a bunch of them. If you don't use promotions, you ain't going to have no bus ministry. And number three, you've got to have a junior church. I said, "If you ain't willing to do them three things, forget it." And one preacher, he went and bought two buses, and they didn't believe in promotions. They didn't believe in, bless God, I believe it's wicked to give a kid a hot dog give away a prize or something. That's wicked. That's bribing them. One man told me, he said, "Well, you're just bribing people to come to church." And I said, "Well, them padded pews are bribing them. It's air conditioning bribing them. Them chandeliers are bribing them old adults." Amen. We do that so people like coming here. We give them a piece of candy. We give them a sucker. We give them a piece of bubble gum. If that's bribing, I don't know. Jesus fed them when they come. Jesus fed them. He fed the multitude, brother. Was he bribing them? He said, "If you give somebody a cup of cold water in my name, you won't lose your reward when you get to heaven." You know what? I just about feel a little preach coming on tonight. I ought to save this till Sunday night, amen. But I'm telling you, listen, that ain't bribing them. And he wasn't willing to bribe them. Or, give me some. He wasn't willing to go to junior church. And he wasn't willing to spend the money. And it wasn't but about 6 months till his buses were set out there in Marion parked for sale. They're not willing to do it. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to build a crowd. They want the church to grow. And, you know, we had several hundred people, and they said, "Well, that's how to get your church to grow." Well, if that's your motive, you touch the wrong motive. Our motive ain't Sunday morning to have a big crowd, and we'll have one, Lord willing. You know why they brought them? That he should touch them. Yeah. Amen? They brought them that he should touch them. Now, we have contests and who's going to have the most on their bus and all that kind of... I'm all for that. But brother, the bottom line is, the reason we run them buses is that He can touch them. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. He can touch them, y'all. He can touch them. Now I realize it's hard to believe He has touched some of them. It's hard to believe He could touch some of them. But thank God you'll see that one stick through. Like old Jimmy. Like, who would have thought that when he first started coming? Who would have thought? Like, oh, we got a lot of our bus kids that love to go to church. They love to go to camp. They'd be disappointed if their bus wasn't coming. You might be one out of 50, but one out of 50 is doing better than most churches are doing. They're zero out of zero. Amen? One out of 50 better than zero out of zero. You know, if a man strikes out once in a while, I mean, if he hits it once in a while, he's doing better than nothing. At least he's swinging at it. And we're swinging, brother. We're swinging. We don't get on base every time. I preach this all the time. You know how many times Michael Jordan took the last shot at a game? They said, when you're behind and there's 20 seconds to go and you're 1 point behind, coach calls timeout, he draws up a play. He said, now you stand over here, and then the guy's taking the ball in over here. You guys run around here like that and scream, then you run around here and get it, Jordan, and then shoot it. You know how many times he done that and missed? 26 times. 26 times Michael Jordan took the last shot and missed it. I could have done better than that. No, I'm just kidding. Not with that opposition, I couldn't. 26 times he took the last shot and missed it. Never seen that on a highlight. All you see is them five that he hit. You see them five that he hit. And they show the same ones over and over and over on those great last second. Bang, bang. It looks good when you finally hit one. 26 he missed. The best player shouldn't always take the best shot, the last shot. Because that's what the other team's going to be triple teaming him. My goodness, might have another man over here wide open. That's what Kobe can't get through his head. But they see the ones that's got to say, but you don't see all the time messed up. A lot of times people say, well, good night. We try our best with these old bus kids, and they don't care. They don't appreciate nothing. If that one does, it's worth it. If you save one kid from getting out there and getting on their life full of drugs and a life of wickedness and ruining their life, and they'll bring Melanie sits right back there. She told me she's finishing up her job this week. She said, after the 6th, Brother Danny, I'll be free. But anyway, you know what she is? She's a product of the bus ministry. She's a product of the bus ministry. And her kids are now being raised in church because somebody 15, 20 years ago worked the bus route. They brought them that he should touch them. Now, I want to say you're better off. A person's a lot better off if the Lord touches you while you're little. Whole lot better off. I preach a whole sermon on that. And the disciples rebuked them. These religious people sit around and says, get these kids out of here. Can't you see we're talking with Jesus Christ? I mean, the Savior of the world. He's God in the flesh. And we don't need to be bothered with these little brats. And the Lord said, suffer them. Put them right here on my lap. Let me hug them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Buddy, them some strong words, ain't it? The Lord didn't say, all right, you kids, come back when you can understand it. Go back there and sit down for about 10 years till you can understand it. He said, you kids, grow up and come like an adult. He didn't say that. He said, you adults ought to come like them kids. Amen? Let's practice on our amen, John. I know there are a bunch of them back there, but let's try it. 1, 2, 3. Amen. It really bothered me the other night when Sonny was preaching. Y'all, you're too quiet, y'all. You're too quiet. Make yourself say amen, even if I don't pull it out of you. Train yourself to say amen to the truth. I have to pull it out of y'all. That's one of the things bad about us. But anyway, let's remember, Jesus said, adults, you come like a child. He didn't say, child, you grow up and come like an adult. Adult, you got to come like a child. The night I got saved, I come like a 5-year-old, buddy, bawling my eyes out, down on my knees, saying, Lord, help me. That's the way to get help from the Lord. He should touch them. And He said, of such is the kingdom of God. Now, I've talked the whole time, and I got another thing or two. Does anybody want to say something or give us an illustration or something happened to you on the bus route or plea for help? Or does somebody want to say, hey, I ain't been on the bus route a long time. I'm going this Saturday. Or I'll help somebody is going. Or I'll help with a meal Sunday. Or something like that. Anybody want to say anything about what I've said about kids? Right quick. Or something that's happened with a bus kid. Wow.
They're running buses.
Amen.
They're running buses by and picked up my 5 kids. I'd get off my night club at 4 or 5 in the morning to pick up my 4 or 5 kids. If I'm going over $20 to get ice cream, I would have had him at 20. I had big money in my pocket. And my girls were thinking, and I got disturbed about it. I finally sprang loose to the waking me up in the morning.
Amen. Amen. What about that? Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Boy, that's shouting ground, ain't it? That's a blessing, Brother Clark. Isn't that something? That's right, right there. And think about that. Think about that. That's why the devil fights us. That's why he hates them buses. That's why it's so hard. That's why our bus workers have a fight all the time. He hates them things. He hates them things. The devil hates them kids. But guess what? There's somebody bigger than the devil got his hands over you, taking care of. Jesus put his hands on them, buddy. Man, I want his hand on me, don't y'all? Boy, if the Lord would just put his hand on me. I had people tell me when I was young, pastor said, Brother Dan, God's got his hand on you. I said, boy, that's the best thing could ever. I sure hope he'll keep his hand on me. I don't want the Lord to take his hand off me. Can you think of anything better than the Lord's hand being on you? Name it. Name it, brother. Name something better. Man, you're safer with God's hand on you than you would be in the best hospital in the world with the best doctors and all the money in the world. You're safe with God's hands on you. Buddy, he's had his hands on me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know what that's like. If you don't know what that's like, ask him. Say, Lord, put your hands on me. You know, spiritually speaking, he keeps his hand on. And he blessed them. He blessed them. I want him to bless me. I want him to bless our bus kids. I've really got to where I get a kick out of some of them. And I don't know their names. That one boy, he comes in sometimes, and he comes walking in like this. He's about that tall. I know y'all know. I don't even know which bus he comes on. He'll come in sometimes and just look like this, walk straight by me and won't even look. And then the next Sunday he'll come in. I'll say, how's it going, man? He'll shake my hand, smile. I don't know what. He got one of them things stuck in his ear. I guess he's listening to music or something. Demonic forces going into his head. And there's a bunch of them little ones, One of them comes up to me and just grabs me every week and just grabs me and hugs me like that right there. What a blessing that is. I'm telling you, one of them girls, I don't even know her name. Trouble. That's what she calls me, Trouble. I said, well, she said, here comes Trouble. I said, that's right. You better believe it. And I don't even know her name. And they all just got a different little personality about them or something like that. You get attached to them, man. You get attached to them. I praise God for our bus kids. Bus workers, try to go round up the strays. I mean, you only get them for a short time. And they start getting 17, 18, boy, they're out. They're gone. And a lot of them will come back after they get in their 20s. But do what we can this week. We're going to meet Saturday morning at 9:30. We're going to go out and just beat the bushes. Sean's printing us up some really, really nice flyers that tell all about our activities, directions to the church, and everything. But let's bow our head for a word of prayer right now. I want Miss Desi to come to the piano. We've had a good lesson tonight on the bus ministry. She's playing softly tonight. And if God's speaking to your heart, and maybe about what you can do or ought to do or should do, why don't you just let the Lord speak to you right now and say, God, what do you want me to do for the bus ministry. Maybe help be a greeter. Maybe help clean up Sunday. Maybe help serve the food Sunday. Maybe help these guys get the tables and everything set up. And maybe help us take down stuff and help with the basketball goals, something like that. What do you want me to do, Lord? Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would put a desire in our heart to go with our buses, to run them, to keep them on the road. Lord, supply the needs. Let them tires last, Lord, like you did the children of Israel's shoes back in the desert. Dear God, please, I ask in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, come down. Move in our hearts, Lord. Lord, bless everybody here. God, thank you for everybody coming out on a Wednesday night. We know the devil probably told them to do something else. They come to church. Bless them. Put your hands on them and bless them, Lord, like you did these kids in the Bible. Have your way in our hearts tonight. Lord Jesus, bless us as we go out Saturday. Bless the visitation. I pray, God, that you'd fill this place full Sunday morning with the power of the Holy Ghost of God Almighty. Have your way in our hearts. Do what needs to be done. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, before we go, please, y'all, pray. Pray hard. Pray hard between now and Sunday morning. Visit. You don't have to go visit on Saturday. Go tomorrow night. Go Friday evening. Get on the telephone. Call some of your family. Call your neighbors. Tell them what we're doing. We'll have the flyers here and Saturday morning, and they need to go to every house, every single house, and so we'll do that. Okay. If you got any questions, how we're going to get them to you, get anything arranged, I'll be standing back there tonight. We'll shake hands and talk a little bit because we got a big day coming up Sunday. I can't wait. All right, let's all stand, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Everybody, fellowship. Amen. Amen. Let's bow. Rod, you dismiss us. Everybody, fellowship for you.